The Samsung Galaxy Buds FE are the perfect partner for your smartphone. Stay immersed thanks to active noise cancellation with AI technology that filters out unwanted background noise. Listen to your audio in comfort hour after hour with the new wingtip design and easy touch controls that make changing settings a breeze. That's a lot to love for just £99 RRP. The new Galaxy Buds FE. Buy now at Samsung.com.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Monday, December 11th. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. Today, we're talking about hacks, big and small. First, a data breach at biotech company 23andMe exposed millions of people's data. WSJ personal tech reporter Dalvin Brown talks about the simple password practices that could prevent these hacks from happening in the future. Then, cyber attacks are causing schools, local governments, and hospitals to spend big, and personal data is at risk. Now, these public sector organizations are building up their digital defenses. We'll hear from WSJ reporter Brenda Leon about why the people who pay for big projects are pushing municipalities to invest in cybersecurity. But first, biotech company 23andMe recently disclosed that thousands of accounts had been compromised, exposing information belonging to nearly 7 million people. But the hackers did not have to break into the company's databases or do anything all that sophisticated. They just tried passwords that customers had used elsewhere. WSJ personal tech reporter Dalvin Brown is here to tell us more about the hack and why it may finally be time to get a password manager. Dalvin, what happened here?
Hackers were able to compromise 14,000 accounts on 23andMe. The way that hackers got in was using a method called credential stuffing, which essentially they take passwords that have been compromised to other sites and they stuff them into other platforms and see what works. Now, what's particularly troubling about that, though, is that your 23andMe account doesn't just reveal information about you, it reveals information about your family members. And through that, 6.9 million people had their information exposed.
How common is this approach and this type of hack?
It's common. Credential stuffing is a hot topic in the cybersecurity community. We've seen it happen in the past couple of years to Netflix. We've seen it happen to Nintendo, Zoom, PayPal. Big companies that have millions of users have seen bad actors try to get into those accounts using credentials that were compromised from other places of the internet.
What has 23andMe said about this breach?
23andMe says that its systems were not hacked. It's not that 23andMe as a company was compromised specifically. It's that these user accounts, so anyone with your email address and password essentially can get in, it's that those individual accounts were compromised.
If I'm one of the people who's affected by this, what does this mean for me? And I guess how would I know?
23andMe said that it would contact each individual that was impacted by this. Honestly, if you use 23andMe at all, you should just change your password, full stop. It may not be that the hackers got into your account, but this might just be a reminder to attend to your cyber hygiene. You should also make sure that you turn on two-factor authentication, which the company says it will require new and existing customers to do from now on.
To a certain degree, hackers are going to hack, right? As an individual, how can you protect yourself across all of the many sites that you might have logins for?
The most important advice is advice that we hear time and time again for years, which is do not reuse passwords. Don't reuse your password because if hackers can get into one account, what's stopping them from trying to get into another one? And it's not always about what they can get from you once they're inside those accounts. It's also those accounts might lead them to information about other people. Or in the case of 23andMe, they now may have your relatives' names, potentially other identifiable information that, you know, if they pretend that they're you, your relative may not know. And they can send messages or emails pretending that they're you. Also, sign up for Password Manager, which they're not infallible, but they certainly do a better job at coming up with unique passwords and remembering them than we do.
That was WSJ personal tech reporter Dalvin Brown. For more of your daily tech headlines, check out TNB Tech Minute. That's right here in the Tech News Briefing feed. It's almost time to wrap up the year, and our sister podcast, WSJ's Take on the Week, wants to take on your questions. Whatever you've been wondering about the economy, companies, stocks, bonds, or markets in general, WSJ's Take on the Week wants to know. Send a note or a voice memo recording to takeontheweek@wsj.com or leave a voicemail at 212-416-3489. Your question may be included in their special end-of-the-year episode. Coming up, why the latest organization looking to build up its cyber defenses might be your local school district. That's after the break.
First, the bad news. SAP Business AI won't help you generate cubist versions of your family's holiday photos. But it will help you understand which supplier is best to help you roll out your plant-based packaging in Southeast Asia, or identify the training your junior project manager needs to rise up the ranks, and automate repetitive tasks while you focus on big innovations, so you can be ready for the next opportunity. Revolutionary technology, real-world results. That's SAP Business AI.
The world's hackers have been busy. Cyber attacks across all industries are on the rise. But public sector organizations like school systems, hospital networks, and utilities are increasingly attractive to hackers because of their weak protections. The number of K-12 public schools suffering ransomware attacks almost doubled between 2021 and 2022, according to a report by cybersecurity company MCSoft. It's been a wake-up call for these public sector systems, pushing them to invest in their digital security. Our reporter Brenda Leon has more on what these cyber attacks mean for local communities and the municipal bond market. What exactly happens during a cyber attack?
What happens during a cyber attack can depend on what sector it is. So what I've seen in my reporting is that, for example, in the education sector, it can shut down schools. And so that means that schools might have to close for 1 or 2 days, or the systems are on lockdown, so administrators can't enter the system for providing classes and giving students and teachers the resources that they need during a school day. Or it could also affect administrative databases. For example, hospitals, which are more reliant on IT infrastructure, can't get into their patients' charts or things like that.
And usually the attackers want money?
Yes. So cyber attacks can lead to ransomware, which means that attackers are asking for money and are holding data hostage. And so administrators have to reckon with whether or not they will be paying substantial amounts of money in order to get their data, or as was the case in Los Angeles School District, they were hit with a ransomware attack in 2022, and they decided not to pay, which led to sensitive student information to be released in the dark web.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's really dark stuff. Some of the first big cyber attacks I heard about were in around 2018. I'm sure there were some before that. But how has the sort of big picture of cyber attacks changed since then?
We hear very much of the big cyber attacks that happen on commercial or public companies. And so what happens is that when it comes to the municipal cyber attacks, they go underreported. And that was one thing that I found in my reporting as well, that because there isn't a protocol in place for these attacks to go reported, then they go unseen. And so what I've also found in my reporting is that between 2021 and 2022, roughly 2,000 schools were attacked with ransomware. And so we're talking about local schools, local governments, local health organizations that are being attacked. And so analysts say that they expect that cyber attacks will continue to evolve. And it's hard to keep track when these cyber attacks do happen at a micro level.
These attacks are becoming more frequent. How are they affecting the municipal bond market?
A municipal bond is a debt that is issued by local governments to pay for things like water sewers, or public schools, or roads. And those are brought by investors. So researchers at MIT actually found that cyber attacks seem to act like a wake-up call for municipalities. And these attacks lead them to investments in securities that assure bondholders that they are spending enough money to recover or prevent cyber attacks. And so what these researchers found is that municipalities spent 50% or more on technology after a cyber attack, and therefore bond yields, or what investors are getting in return for their investment or buying this debt, fell by 3 basis points, which basically means that they took a hit. Another way that cyber attacks can affect local municipalities is also by whether or not the local government has a big enough budget to pay for these costs after a cyber attack, recovering the data, you know, finding ways to prevent this. And when I was speaking to analysts, they also told me that things like cyber insurance was also very expensive.
When we talk about this effect, if I'm an investor, just looking at the greater scheme of what's going on, does that make me less likely to invest in a municipal bond in the future?
What we're seeing is that investors actually want to see that local municipalities are taking cyber attacks seriously, and that local municipalities are actually also thinking about what the effects of having a cyber attack in general can look like and what that impact would be on their financial costs. Analysts also told me, like, we can't foresee what climate change might do to local municipalities. They are also investing in their physical infrastructure, and the same goes for their technological infrastructure as well.
That was WSJ reporter Brenda Leon. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.